Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy, for your love, for your peace. Thank you for your unfailing love, for never letting us go, never letting us down, never giving up on us, but forever have us in your heart, Father. So, Lord, we're so thankful tonight that as the word goes forth, Father, that you will speak through me and that this congregation will be edified, that you may be glorified, Father. And we're looking forward to all that you have to say tonight, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, we have great expectations, Father, great expectations that you will enlighten us to see you in a new light, in a new way, in a new perspective that we haven't perceived yet before, Father. We thank you that we have a greater understanding of who we are and how valuable we are to you and how much you care, how much you have invested into our being in your family, our being one with you, Father. So, Lord, we just want to thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, tonight I'm going to say what the Lord has me to say. I believe if I'm on the right track, which I know I am, we're going to take a little journey through the Bible. And we're going to see some insights into what God has invested into you and I. We're going to start at the beginning at Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And this is the New Living Translation. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's where it all got started, right? All right, let's move on to 26. And then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. Not to be like the angels, not to be like cats and dogs, not to be like the donkeys and horses, but to be, he said, let us make them be like us, to be in the image of God Most High. And he said, they will reign. Yeah. They will reign over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky, the livestock and all the wild animals on the earth and all the small animals that scurry around the ground. We were created in his image and we were created to reign. My God. And as you read on through the Bible, you'll see all the things that God created, both in verse 1 and verse 2 and all the steps that he went through. But as you get to chapter 3, we find out where man fell for Satan's tricks and man fell from God's grace. And is in that moment, well, before that time, God already knew. He already had a plan, but he enacted that plan the moment that man fell, because God desired for you and I to be in fellowship with him. But when Adam sinned, mankind fell out of fellowship. We fell out of communion. When after they had sinned and God came down into the cool of the day and he didn't see Adam, he says, where are you? Adam fell out of his position of being one with God. So as we go throughout the Bible, we find that God, he's looking for somebody. He's looking for a man or woman or people who will connect with him so he can execute his plan.
Amen.
He desires for us to no longer be bound by the trappings of the enemy. So let's pull up Leviticus chapter 1, and we're going to read through that, and we're going to continue on. So man, when he fell into sin, and not just let's read this, and then we'll get into that. It says, the Lord called to Moses from the tabernacle and said to him, give the following instructions to the people of Israel. When he presented an animal as an offering to the Lord, you may take it from the herd of the cattle or the flock of the sheep and the goats. If the animals you present as a burnt offering from the herd, it must be a male with no defect. Bring it into entrance to the tabernacle so that you may, so it may be accepted by the Lord. Lay your hands on the animal's head, and the Lord will accept its death in your place to purify you, to make you right with him. Mm. God so desired for us to be right with him that even when at this time, the Bible says that we were considered his enemies, yet he still loved us. So even though he didn't have the perfect sacrifice in place to take our sins away forever, he put measures in place that on some level, in some measure, that we could have communion with him.
Yes, sir.
Amen. The sacrifice of animals set Israel apart as gods, set Israel apart as gods by covering them, by covering their sins so that God could bless them and connect with them. It was a temporary measure for God to see past their sins. So it was God's measure. It was his stepping stone. It was his, if you say it like this, his beta program before the final product release. It was his way to getting to where we could have eternal life.
Amen.
But he had to get his seed into the earth so that we had an opportunity to have that eternal life.
Amen.
So as you look throughout the Bible, you'll see where God tried. He searched high and low, and he looked for a man. He found one in Noah, someone who would hear and heed his call and by faith obey his word. He looked for a man. He found one in Abraham, someone who would heed his call, obey his commandments, and believe what he said.
Yes,
and through Abraham and through Isaac and through Jacob and throughout all the lineage up until Jesus,
yes.
God put his plan into motion so that we wouldn't be stuck in a place where we were forever doomed to a devil's hell. See, sacrifices was a stepping stone. The gruesome, I'm going to get to that. The sacrifices of goats and animals weren't enough to keep us forever. Israel, they had to do yearly sacrifices, annual sacrifices. And on top of that, other sacrifices when they did mess up. But it was just, like I said, it was just a stepping stone and just a measure, just a means to get to where we had to go. And now I want to continue on because what I want you to see tonight is to understand what he went through, the plans he went to place, the steps he had to go through, all the things that had to be in the right position and in the right proportion and had to have people in obedience in order for him to get to where he wanted us to be.
Amen.
It says, then slaughter the young bull in the Lord's presence, and Aaron's sons and the priests will present the animal's blood by splattering it against all the sides of the altar that stand at the entrance of the tabernacle. Then skins of the animal will be cut into pieces. The sons of Aaron and the priests will build the wood fire on the altar. They will arrange the pieces of the offering, including the head and the fat, and the wood burning on the altar. But the internal organs and the legs must be first washed with water. Then the priest will burn the entire sacrifice, the altar, the burnt offerings, the special gift, a pleasing aroma to the Lord. Now, as I was reading through this, you know, the thought came to my mind, why does it require such specific instructions? And the answer came in twofold. One, God's standards are just that high that we have to be willing to obey him to the letter. his standards are just that high because he is, his standards are just that high because he is just that righteous. That's who he is. That his standards define, help illuminate his identity or his personality. And the other answer to that was the severity of sin was just that low that he had to go to the utmost in order so that we could have an opportunity to enter in into his presence. Back in the olden days, they didn't have the opportunity to commune with God directly. They had to go through the priest. But in today's time, we have a great high priest that we have direct access.
Amen.
The gruesomeness of the sacrifices on the altar reflected the gruesomeness of the sin of sin itself to God. These animals were essentially taking the place of the people. They, just as we read, the animals were a placeholder and sacrifice in position of the people so that the sins of the people were laid up on the animal. And that process also illuminated was a shadow and a type of who Christ was to be for us. That Christ would come into this earth and he would be treated, even though he came in sinless, he will be made sin for us and treated as he was sinful so that in his sinlessness, he could pay for our righteousness.
Come on now. Yes, sir. Praise God.
Mm-hmm. In the olden days, like I said, the priest had to stand in the gap for the people. But in today's time, Jesus is our high priest.
Yes.
In the olden days, the sacrifices of animals took the place of the sins of the people. But in today's time, Jesus is our great sacrifice. We were once set apart in the enemy's camp. And we had taken on the very nature of sin. It's like this. I was contemplating how to comprehend or explain the difference between a sinful act and a sin nature, because we as born-again believers know we're no longer sinners. We may have a slip-up and a mess-up and fall down here and there, but we are no longer sinners. We have been made righteousness in God. And the Lord, oh my God, he gave this to me. He was like, it's like the difference between you know, you might have been little when you were like 5 years old or whatever, and you went to a gas station, you stole a piece of candy, or you picked one up and you stuck it in your pocket, or I don't know, maybe you did yesterday. I'm not going to answer your question. but it's the difference between committing a sin act and say you as a young individual or whatever, you got involved into the wrong crowd, and you got involved into a gang, or somehow you got drafted into a mafia or some biker gang or some sort of criminal organization. You're not just committing sinful acts, but you are part of a criminal organization, a criminal group. The very nature of sin traps you into committing sin whether you want to or not.
All right.
Mm. And in those organizations, oftentimes it's you can't get out just because you want to. You can't leave just when you want to. Sin is not going to let you go just because you want to. It's going to hold you tight. But we had a great high priest that stood in the gap for us and that got us out of that mess, got us out of that situation, got us out of the doom that we were headed towards. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is life in Jesus Christ. So tonight I want us to understand what Christ did for us, what God did in Christ, through Christ, and did throughout the centuries to set it up so that Christ could come into this earth, so that he could make the ultimate sacrifice. That's that one last sacrifice that will redeem mankind for all eternity. Not yearly sacrifices to stave off sin, but to eradicate sin from our lives eternally. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, glory be to God. Okay. Hebrews 4:15. I don't know if I gave that one to you, but let's turn there. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, and he faced all the same tests we do. Yet he did not sin. He qualified. He qualified. He qualified. Hebrews 12:12-1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. Verse 2. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiated and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and now seated in a place of honor beside God's throne. He disregarded the shame and the pain and the turmoil. He made the ultimate sacrifice. He didn't drop the ball in the ninth hour. Throughout the centuries, God set it up so that generation after generation after generation would proclaim them as God's people, that Israel would be set apart as the guardians of the law and the guardians of God's plan, so that through that lineage, all mankind could be saved. Mark 15:15. And as she's turning that, I'm going to read this. In 2 Corinthians, he just stayed in Mark. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says that Jesus, he knew no sin, but yet he took on our sin. And this is the process that he's going through that we're going to read here. We're just going to read a small snippet of it. It says, to pacify the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He ordered Jesus flogged with a lead whip, then turned him over to the Roman soldiers to be crucified. The soldiers took Jesus into the courtyard of the governor's headquarters, called the, Praetorium, thank you, and called out the entire regiment. They dressed him in purple robes, and they wove thorns, branches into the crown and put it on his head. Then they assaulted him and taunted him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Then they struck him on the head with the reed stick, spit on him, and dropped to their knees in mock worship. Then they were finally tired of mocking him. They took off the purple robe, and put his own clothes on him again. Then they led him, by the way, to be crucified. And pull up 21 if you can, right quick. Let me see there. That's where I'm gonna stop. So this, he had to go through immense turmoil. When he was in the garden, he was sweating drops of blood. The pressure was so intense, but he did not waver. He did not falter. He didn't drop the ball in the ninth hour. He didn't make all those centuries of preparation of none effect. But he saw it through to the end because he was looking towards you and I. Amen. He was looking towards having us in his family. He was looking forward to calling us his brothers and sisters. He was looking forward to calling us his body, to be joint heirs with him, to reign and rule in life, to have victory over sin and death and hell and all the works of the enemy. Yeah. It was his desire for us to be victorious in life, to have triumph in him and through him, and to have that fellowship and connection and relationship with him and God the Father.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Now we have been freed by the by the love joy of Jesus. And now Holy Spirit identifies us as his very own. We have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light. We're no longer in the sin gang. We're in the God's army. Yeah. We're members of the Most High God. We're in the army of the Most High God. We're no longer associated with sin, despite slip-ups and mess-ups and mishaps. Regardless of all of that, by the grace of God and by the obedience of Christ, we have the right to walk in righteousness, to ask and receive forgiveness for our wrongdoings, and to walk according to God's will. We're no longer obligated by Satan's way of doing things. We are now free to do things God's way.
Yeah.
We're now free to do things the way God intended for us to do from the very beginning. We were designed to reign in life. We were designed to rule this earth. We were designed to have dominion over the fish and the birds and all the critters upon this earth. We were designed to rule, and by the obedience of Christ, according to his ultimate sacrifice, we now have that right. We can reign, we can rule, we can be victorious, we can be wealthy, we can be healthy, we can have peace, we can have joy, we can have a clear mind, we can have a sound spirit. There is nothing that the enemy can throw at us that can stay, because it has no right, it has no authority. By the grace of God, we have been given authority through Jesus Christ. By the authority given to us by the Most High God, we have the right to rule and reign, and to decree and declare and say what thus saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you tonight to take reverence of what it took to get to this place. From the beginning, when God declared who we were, and yet man failed. And as time went on, man delved deeper and deeper into sin. He looked high and low. He searched, and he found Noah. He found Abraham, and he found David, and he found Mary and Joseph. He found people willing to heed his call and obey his voice, so that you and I, and that all mankind, had an opportunity to walk in righteousness. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Oh, we don't take it lightly what you've done for us, God. We don't take it lightly what you've done for us, God. You put in play a plan in place for the very beginning, because you said, I'm not losing my man. I'm not creating my man just to lose him to the devil. I already have a plan in place. I already have a ram in the bush ready for the sacrifice, so that man could live in righteousness, so that I could have fellowship with him. Oh, we don't take it lightly, Father. We just want to say thank you. Thank you. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, thank you. At every opportunity, we want to say thank you. Oh, thank you, Father. If you don't know Jesus, you can know Jesus. Bible says if you confess with your mouth and you believe with your heart, you can be saved. To declare, Jesus, I make you my Lord. Jesus, I submit myself to you. I now follow after your command, after your will, after your way, because you have a better way. You have my best interest at heart, and I know you won't leave me wrong. I know you won't do me wrong. I know you'll do me right. So I want to say thank you, Father, for guiding me into all truth. Thank you, Lord, for showing me the way. Thank you, Lord, for the right words to say, so that I can be in obedience and compliance with you, Father, that I may walk in the newness of life and walk in your blessings and walk according to your promises. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Come on, Bishop. Hallelujah. 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 So Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Don't take it lightly. It is of great value, the sacrifice, because you were just that important. You are valuable enough. You are valuable enough for God to go through all that he had to go through, to find all the people in place that he had to find, to get to where he needed to go so that you could have newness of life. Hallelujah.